Welcome back to another episode of Data Protection Gumbo. And of course, you know me, I am Demetrius. And today we have a great show lined up for you where we will dive into some of the best practices and insights around intra-ID, back up the importance of making sure that that is protected, because of course, it is the keys to the kingdom, right? And you want to make sure that information, all the identity and access management information is completely protected, which brings me to someone who I have invited on as a guest, and I'm excited about it as well, Bernard Clark, who is the senior product manager over at DropSuite. Welcome to the Gumbo, Bernard. How are you?
Hi, thank you, Demetrius. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on the show.
First brief intro around yourself and how long you've been with DropSuite and anything else you'd like to share as an intro.
Yeah, for sure. Personally, I've been at DropSuite since about the beginning of February. I joined DropSuite, as Demetrius, you mentioned, around Entra ID backup. I joined to kind of get that product bootstrapped out and in the market. But you know, that's part of a series of things we want to do at DropSuite that are cybersecurity oriented that we'll get into. Before DropSuite, you know, I've been in working with MSPs for quite some time. I was another organization called SkyKick that's a very MSP focused organization. And before that, I spent about 10 years the front of my career working at Microsoft, primarily in the office productivity side of things. So it's kind of just interesting to see how all of that's evolved over the last 20 years. Much of it rings true and has been consistent, but it's also sort of exciting just to kind of see how over time, you know, a lot of that vision's come to life. So for better or for worse, I've been in Microsoft's world for a little over 20 years now.
Awesome. So you are a veteran. We love veterans on the show here. So let's start off with a softball question. Can you just explain the importance of identity management systems like IntraID, and especially in today's digital infrastructure, and also why backing up these systems are so critical and important in today's digital environment?
For sure. I mean, I think, you know, as I was saying, I've been doing this stuff for over 20 years now, an old timer, a veteran. You know, one of the first jobs I did in college was technical support at a small MSP, I guess you would call them now. They didn't call themselves that back in the late 90s. But, you know, back in those days, managing an on-prem infrastructure, you took a domain controller and you backed up the domain controller. You took shadow copies of hard drives. You put things on tape drives, any number of Stone Age things that were there to protect that infrastructure at the bit level. When you transition this stuff to the cloud, obviously the opportunity to back things up at the bit level isn't there. Microsoft's clearly doing that stuff at the behind the scenes, but you as an organization or as the MSP serving them don't have the opportunity to kind of just back up the entirety of something like a domain controller once it's in the cloud. So now you're in this world of backing up workload by workload. So, you know, in the first instance, everybody got interested in how well they could back up their content. So like content's the stuff that's like the substance of an organization, if you will. And so, you know, over the last 10 years, there's been a lot of focus on making sure that once you're in the cloud, you're backing up your content workloads, your email, your OneDrive, Teams, your SharePoints, all those different things. But there's this gap that you have coming from an on-prem world where your identity infrastructure is no longer protected. You used to be able to just put your domain controller back online. And so you didn't need to think about Active Directory specifically. Like the whole thing was ready to be restored in some dire circumstance. Now you don't have that opportunity. That identity infrastructure is now vulnerable, and vulnerable to the same category of things it used to be vulnerable to, be that sort of accidental manipulation. It's very easy to run a script that does something you don't want it to do, and hitting Control Z on that is an important capability. Mm-hmm. But as the landscape evolves with a cybersecurity context, Entra and identity infrastructure is now an attack vector. It's the place where people start. It's the first point of infiltration and getting access via Entra to sort of a user and then associated resources and exploring the environment is typical behavior. But also that data itself is critical beyond just sort of managing identity and those sorts of things. It's now the place where your security policies are held and your device management policies are held. So there's also a tremendous amount of IP that's in Entra. Yeah. Amount of time of where those things are set up and configured, where one, you don't want those manipulated in order to make sure that that protection remains consistent, but also a lot of time and effort goes into creating those policies and management tooling. And so to lose that is also expensive and sort of comes at a business continuity cost, if you will.
All great information. And you've been around long enough to know that planning is actually the best thing that you can do, because if you don't have a plan, then you plan to fail, right? Because once it hits the fan and you find out that you have been breached or identity has been hacked or someone's credentials have been leveraged, it's almost too late, right? So what are some of the best practices from your perspective around securing data, especially with things like backups, for instance, right? And maybe some horror stories after that as well. What are some best practices for just making sure that the audience listening are doing the best they can do in order to make sure that they are somewhat preventing these things from happening?
I mean, I think you mentioned probably, I think, the most important one, which is having a plan. You know, okay. One of my favorite quotes, I think it was Eisenhower, said it, you know, plans are useless, but planning is essential. You know, I think like going through the process of just sort of having a plan for backing up, like having something that's like, I would say, you know, somewhat cast iron or sort of official for as far as like what that might mean for your organization in terms of what you're backing it up, how you're backing it up and those sorts of things. So I think, you know, having a plan, I think is very important, both in terms of how you're protecting the data, but also how you might respond to an incident. I mean, like you referenced, you know, it's a bad time to be trying to draw up a plan after the fact. And I think for many organizations, regardless of the outage, but I think particularly in ransomware type scenarios, you know, they're most impacted in the time that it takes to recover from that. You know, you're offline. You can't communicate with each other. You can't communicate with your customers, your supply chain. And so like a lot of the impact in that aftermath is really about kind of, you know, you're offline and getting your business back online, getting people productive again, getting them able to sort of get access to resources and start doing their job is critical. And having a plan in place to recover from that is going to be crucial, because in the aftermath of those sorts of outages, as I described, like the ability to communicate with each other isn't there. Like if someone either maliciously or through some less malicious event, you suffer some kind of outage, like your ability to communicate with each other is compromised. Your email might be offline. You might not be able to get access to Teams. You might kind of have to resort to texting each other and digging up contacts on your phone and trying to piece things together. And so if you don't have a plan, one, to kind of deal with that type of eventuality, but also in the broader sense, then to be trying to make it up after the fact, I think is going to be super challenging. And I think the other thing I would say is, you know, don't look at this as an opportunity to do CYA box checking. You know, I see a lot of organizations just kind of saying like, okay, well, we've got these different workloads, we've got these different things that are holding up our organization. So we'll just put some kind of coverage there and kind of dust our hands and call the job done. And I would say, you know, as part of the backup planning process, don't just look at like checking boxes around, you know, saying that things are backed up. Really think about what it means to do the recovery, because that, I mean, it's sort of common sense when you think about it, but that's where the value and the impact of all this stuff really meets the road, is it's in the ability to recover, not necessarily in the ability to back up. The backup is somewhat useless if you can't use it productively to recover your organization after.
Yeah.
So rather than checking boxes, really think about like the outcome you want and to have a plan for that.
Yeah. And how painful is it if you do not have some type of way or solution or automated process in order to make sure that you are protecting Entra ID, that you have that data backed up somewhere? How painful is it? Have you ran across some stories where someone wasn't using some type of solution in order to easily capture that data and to have the ability to recover quickly from it?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's probably got their own story from those. You know, one that I mm-hmm. think is really that kind of stood out to me, I think happened either earlier this year or maybe late last year, was a law firm in Sacramento got mm-hmm. ransomware, and you know, all the things that you would expect to happen there happened. You know, their identity infrastructure got compromised and then their contents encrypted. But I think one of the sort of interesting things that happened there is that as part of that attack, their backups were also compromised and deleted. And so, you know, I think there's that additional pain in a cloud interconnected world where, like in the old days where you had your tapes and you took them and, you know, people would go bury them underground somewhere, you know, like that. You had some sort of old school resilience there. You know, in the cloud world, these vulnerabilities are very interconnected. And I think that situation was interesting for a few reasons. One, as I was describing earlier, and a lot of the impact is like after the fact, how do you communicate with people to even let them know what's happening and manage, you know, the expectations and frustrations of your supply chain while you're going through that process. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just demonstrated this sense of ambiguity and the liability there. Because I think from their perspective, what they were saying to their MSP was, you know, we contracted you to protect us from this type of incident. Like, we're a law firm. Our expertise is in legal matters. We don't have expertise on technical matters. And so we sort of outsource that expertise to you. Like, we're looking for you to be our trusted partner to make sure that we're protected. And without knowing, you know, the specifics of their contracts, I've seen a number of instances where what MSPs today are doing that I think speaks to sort of the market opportunity around cybersecurity is selling security resilience as a sort of like core to their managed service offering, which I think is great for MSPs. And I think it's great for the market that MSPs are stepping up to serve that requirement. But it also creates this ambiguity in terms of the liability for some of these organizations where, you know, if their customer gets hacked in the way that this organization did, they could then turn around and say, well, you were supposed to be protecting me and I got attacked even so. And that's extremely expensive for me. And so, you know, I'm gonna include you in the litigation here. And so, you know, I think that is a sort of just an example of how this type of disaster or catastrophe, if you will, can have like broad reaching implications beyond, you know, the organization that was directly impacted and how, you know, they were taken offline and how difficult and expensive that was. It's a whole chain of things that where this sort of spills over and you could become impacted, you know, as an MSP, but also, you know, like as a vendor offering that type of protection.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple things, and one was that, and I continue to hear this a lot, is that the backups, the hackers, bad guys, bad actors, they are definitely looking for the backups as well. Mm-hmm. And so there are some cases where they are able to get to the backups and encrypt them as well, removing the capability to recover, which forces that particular company to, number one, have to pay the ransom, right? Because I mean, I am still hearing about companies paying ransom in order to have their data released or unencrypted. But in the case of exfiltration, what can you do, right? They just stole the data and they posted it somewhere. There's nothing you can do for that, right? If they've already posted the information. But do you have any recommendations around further protecting the backups? Because it's kind of table stakes now. If you're not protecting your backups, then what are you doing, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the obvious tactical immediate answer, I guess, is your backups need to be immutable. If you can log into your backup solution and delete your backups, and that's the first thing a malicious actor is going to do. Like, they're savvy people. They dedicate their entire waking moments thinking about how to compromise an organization. And so anything that's like at their fingertips are going to go after. So I think that's a very specific, straightforward thing to do, is just make sure your backups are immutable. you know, in terms of, you know, thinking about data egress and sort of the threat of just having your data stolen, whether it's held to ransom or whether it's just taken and sold on the black market somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that just kind of speaks to how the backup category, I think, is becoming a more all-encompassing data protection and governance category, of which backing up the data is but one pillar. And I think that that is in part because of the opportunity to have your data stolen. But I think it's also a vulnerability in terms of what generative AI and things like Copilot could do, because I think something else that can happen that's not necessarily about a threat actor stealing your data is if you don't have good data protection and governance, you're somewhat inhibited from being able to deploy something like Copilot to your environment because it will egress the data for you, right? Like it's going to start indexing it, it's going to start learning from it. And so, you know, from an insider perspective, there are any number of examples, particularly in the first few generations of Copilot, where it gets deployed in organizations and then people start asking it interesting questions. How much do my peers get paid? Are we making an acquisition? You know, and all sorts of things like that, where something, I guess, innocently in terms of like what the technology was intended to do, maliciously or even kind of surface data accidentally. I mean, you could proffer any number of benign AI prompts, and if you don't have good data governance happening underneath that, then it's going to start providing people with data you probably don't want it provided with. So I'd say, you know, backing up the data is just one part of like thinking about data protection and governance more holistically. And, you know, certainly in terms of like how we think about, you know, the products that we're building, the things that we're trying to do, you know, I think that, you know, how we're evolving our businesses in response to that, like, you know, we're backing up the data, but, you know, the ability to leverage things like AI is an opportunity people are inhibited from if they don't have good data protection governance, as well as, you know, the data being stolen. And so it's all well and good backing up the data, but as you describe, having the, like, losing the data in terms of losing your, you know, having it be deleted or encrypted or any of those things is only sort of one vulnerability that gets stolen, even if you still have access to it, is in many instances at least as bad, potentially depending on the business, even worse. And so I kind of look at it as, let's think about data protection and governance in the broader sense. Think about where documents and where your information is dwelling, where it's moving around, the surface area of access to it. A lot of people, they just create documents and share a link, and everybody who has the link has access to the document. It's very easy to have oversharing of information. And so backing it up is one part of resilience, but just kind of looking, where is your data held? Who has access to it? How does it transfer from point to point? You know, I think having a holistic plan around that, going back to planning and thinking about it more broadly, I think is crucial.
Yeah, sounds like I heard a little bit about zero trust, right? So we're gonna trust, but we're gonna verify that you have the authorization in order to access and authenticate to this data, and we're gonna give you only the permissions and privileges that you need to do your job, or to read, or to write, or to view whatever you need to view. So, and you also mentioned a couple of things as well. Sounds like a little bit of compliance and governance in there around just making sure that the IAM, identity access management systems, are all complying, and also the data that you are responsible for protecting, that you know where it is, because there's a lot of terms out there, dark data. I've heard some other terms around not knowing where your data is, static data, and data obviously lives in a lot of different places now as well. But I'll also give you an opportunity to just plug DropSuite and how do you guys do it over there?
I mean DropSuite's got an extensive pedigree in that data protection and backup, and so with the introduction of Entra backup, you know, we're investing in rounding that out. And I think, you know, if you kind of look at what our strategy is, our strategy is to be thinking about this category more holistically. So, you know, I described, like, over the last 10 years, most of the focus has been on making sure that the content workloads are protected. And, I think our MSPs feel really good about our competency there and how, you know, robust that solution is and how well it serves the SMB market. I think with the introduction of Entra Backup, we're sort of rounding that out. And I think that enables us to build towards a world where, you could be more user focused, if you will, in terms of how you think about this. You know, I think about like the way a lot of backup, I think like backup vendors, but also I think like the industry and the way it thinks is sort of very workload focused in a way that can kind of be a very siloed approach, where it's like, yeah, we've got our VMs over here, we've got our SharePoint and email and productivity stuff over here, identity stuff over here, endpoints in some different place, like all these different things, potentially different vendors, in many cases, you know, different products, different departments sometimes could be very disaggregated. And I think like what we want to get to is to like really bring these things together and look at the outcome. Like the outcome of recovery is not to put the data back. The outcome is to enable human beings, users, workers to be able to get back to doing their jobs and be able to get back online and be productive. So by adding the ability to protect the identity infrastructure to what we're doing with the content, that's a first step in terms of if a user or every user, like the entirety of that infrastructure gets wiped out, got the ability to put the content back, put the identities back, put all of that infrastructure back, rewire these things together and get back to business as soon as possible. And that's, you know, a thing that we've learned about like these scenarios, the time it takes to recover is crucial, almost like, you know, like a human being encountering some kind of health issue, you know, the ability to kind of recover quickly is what's important. And so the ability to kind of bring that together in a way that's sort of focused on enabling people to get back to work, you know, that's what our vision is about, and that's the direction we're taking, certainly in the immediate term, with like our backup and Entra backup products. Is they start distinct, but before too long, they come together in this integrated fashion.
Yeah. And making sure that the business, right, can continue to operate and that they can recover and resume operations fairly quickly. And you are adhering to your recovery time and recovery point objectives and all of your SLAs. And that leads back to the planning, right? And getting with all of your teams and from a top-down perspective, making sure that the highest level person from the CEO all the way down to the administrator or the engineer, security operations center, backup teams, compliance, governance, applications, right? Everybody is on the same page. They're practicing, they're rehearsing, and just making sure that you have your arms wrapped around all the data, right? So any final shout out for you before I begin to plug the backup and recovery professionals group here?
I would say, you know, in terms of plugs, I don't know that I have specific plugs, but what I think I would say to everybody listening is kind of reiterate what I was saying before and kind of what you're saying. Having a good plan, thinking about the ability to recover more so than the ability to, or the number of boxes you have checked in terms of things that are backed up. The point of a backup is to be able to recover. So make sure that the solutions that you're investing in, the processes that you built, the plans that you have in place are all focused on the outcome that you need after the fact, the ability to recover there. I think that to my mind is the most crucial takeaway. And I think thing that across the industry, we all need to be most focused on in terms of as vendors, the things that we're building, MSPs and security professionals, the things that the value that we're trying to create there. And as organizations consuming that, you know, that's going to be, I think, the most crucial area to make sure that you've invested in as best you can, having plans in place and a strategy to recover.
All right. You've heard it from Bern that you definitely need to make sure that you are protecting your identity and access management systems. You're performing proper backups, and you have your, I like to say this once again, your arms wrapped around where all of that data exists, and you have an automated way in order to not only just back it up, but to make sure that you can recover it when when it's needed. So also, before I let everyone go, we are on YouTube, Data Protection Gumbo, as well. So please look us up there and join the other 26,000 professionals out there in backup and recovery professionals. It's on LinkedIn. It's a group that I created. We have similar conversations to the ones that we are right here on Data Protection Gumbo. So Byrne, thank you for being a guest here. And we appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you for having me.